It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott in the house, hanging out with us today as well. Got a lot to talk about. Got a couple great guests on today. Steve Post is going to join us here in just a little bit. And we're also going to have Bryce Hall on, who is the new general manager of Arrowhead Speedway, a new racetrack that's being built down in Oklahoma. We'll talk to him a little bit later about that racetrack. And him leaving his duties over at USRA. Bryce, such a one of the most professional guys out there. I've known him for a few years. Worked with him over there at Salina Speedway in Salina, Oklahoma. He's such a great guy, man, and I'm so happy for him that he's going to be the new general manager of this new racetrack. So we'll talk to him about that and more about what's coming up at that racetrack, what they're going to run down there, what's the classes they're going to run, whatnot. So that'll be pretty good. Can't wait to talk to Bryce about that here in just a little bit. Austin, how are you doing today, buddy? Everything okay?
Yep, we're doing good.
Yep. So
I say we. I should say I'm doing good, but
I'm
used to saying we.
Why?
In driver interviews.
Oh, because of your team.
Can't say I.
Right.
Only if you mess up.
No team and I.
No, only if you mess up, then
no,
it's your fault.
No, I and team, I should say.
Right. But if you succeed, it's we.
Right. What if you fail? It's you.
It's I.
Yeah, right.
It might not be, but it is.
Right. Hey, before I get going, I want to give a little bit of a shout-out to a friend of mine that owns Day Automotive in Independence, Missouri. A longtime friend. And let me just tell you, folks, I would have never survived in racing without Huey over at Day Automotive. Huey Anthony, he is one of the best guys that I've ever met. He's kept so many people into racing over the years. Never said no to me whenever I needed a part and whenever I needed to put it on my tab. Huey was always there for me, and he's 76 years old today. Huey, happy birthday, buddy. That's a pretty cool deal. You're getting up there, old dude. You're getting up there in age, buddy. So anyway, they do a great job over there. Won my first race. No, I didn't win a race that year. I take that back. I ran their motors 1 year, and I think I ran second 8 times in 2000 with their motor. And Huey, the funny thing about that was, Huey bet me $100 at the start of the year, and I was running their motors that I wouldn't win a race. But I ran second 8 times that year. Can you imagine running second 8 times, Austin?
Ugh, that'd be a tough pill to swallow.
I ran second 4 weeks in a row at one point. Because at that time, at I-70 Speedway, we had to start. You know how they inverted the points? You remember how they used to do that? Remember that back in the day?
Nope. I don't know anything that went on I-70. That was way before my time.
Way before your time. Well, your dad would remember that. But there was a time when they inverted the top 12 in points. So, and I was always starting on the 10th row, or I was always starting around 10th. And by the time I'd get to the front, the race was over. So that was Huey got a big chuckle out of that over the year. And their motors made really good horsepower. Tony builds some really good motors back there in the engine room. They do a great job. There's probably nobody in motorsports in Kansas City that has kept people in racing more than Day Automotive. Huey over at Day Automotive has kept more people in motorsports than anybody I know. You've been over there before, haven't you?
Oh, plenty of times. I remember going there, you know, back when Dad raced, and you know, now that it's kind of transitioned to me, I get to make the trips over, and
right.
always enjoy going over and visiting with, you know, Huey and Victor now, and you know they've helped me out here the past I think 2 years now. So, yeah, it's cool to see them, you know, still in the sport and still helping people out.
I don't know of anybody that has kept people in racing more than Huey. If you go over there, I'm going to tell you, back in the day, I don't know if it's still this way or not, but back in the day, he had a book full of receipts about this thick. And those were everybody that was riding on Huey's money. Huey, one of the great guys. He's a Central Auto Racing Boosters Hall of Famer. He's such a good guy, man, and I want to give him a big shout-out for his birthday today here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, over the 35 years that I raced off and on for those 35 years, nobody did more for me than Day Automotive. So happy birthday, Huey. Hey, how about the news that came down today that Gene Genetin is going to go into the Midget Hall of Fame? How about that, Austin? That's pretty cool, isn't it?
That is. I seen that last night. I was kind of later in the night, and when they posted on USAC's, you know, social media pages, and you know, that's a really, you know, I guess big accomplishment for the Genetin family to have, you know, have Gene into, you know, most prestigious, you know, Midget Racing Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. That's around. You know, I think he might be in a couple others. I think he might be in Belleville. I might be wrong on that, but I know he's in quite a few at least, and you know, it's cool to finally see him, you know, be honored by USAC and to go into the National Hall of Fame. I mean, he's done it all, and he's seen it all during his career. And, you know, I'll never forget, you know, watching the first ever Chili Bowl Nationals and seeing Gene have lead most of the race and have a shot at winning the first ever Chili Bowl if a lap car doesn't get in the way. So it's finally cool to see him, you know, get in there.
Gene Genetin. I don't mean this with any disrespect to anybody else that's ever raced a midget out of Kansas City, or this area, I should say. Gene Genetin, probably the best midget racer that we've seen. Joe Boyles was pretty good, though, right? I mean, he made the A main 3 times, I think he did. I think he ran in the top 5 one time, but no disrespect to anybody else, but I think Gene Genetin might have been the best midget driver that ever come out of Kansas City. Would you agree with me on that, Austin?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, that's kind of more in your, you know, time period. I was way before.
Way before your time.
Yeah, right? All I know of Gene is stories from, you know, going racing with, you know, Ayrton and Beaver and hearing stories from Nina at Nina's house when I stayed with her a couple of months ago. And I just get to hear stories about him. From what I hear, I mean, it sounds like, you know, he was, a wheel man, really. He was just, you know, no matter what he got in sprint cars or midgets, he was contending for wins and won some big races and had a lot of success. But, yeah, I think, you know, during that, you know, maybe that time period, you know, he was the best to come out of Kansas City.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, congratulations. Hopefully, we can get a hold of Nina. And maybe Nina will come on the air. You think there's any possibility that she would come on the air and talk to us? You think there's any chance that could happen?
Yeah, she might.
She might do that. She's still awful proud of Gene and his accomplishments over the years. So last night, we watched that race just a little bit earlier. Last night, Tim McCready beat Jonathan Davenport and Chris Madden to the line at Kokomo with the XR series there last night. What'd you think of that race last night, Austin?
It wasn't. I mean, it was
just
a race.
Was it better the night before?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but, you know, I saw a deal on Facebook, you know, yesterday afternoon before the races got started, and, you know, one thing that XR does is I believe they bring their own track crew.
Right.
And the same guy preps the track for all the XR events, and I think if they maybe allowed Kokomo crew to do it, we might have seen
been better,
you know, 2-lane racing. I mean, we saw, you know, Davenport ran the middle and Overton ran the top and McCready was on the bottom there. You know, so you had 3 different lines, but, you know, they weren't later in the race, they weren't really equal. The bottom just had so much moisture on it and it got so dirty that it was the way to go. I mean, you could go knock the decking out of it, but
right.
It got so far up there off of four. And when you come off of four, it kind of falls off and the wall, it doesn't like, they're not, the wall and the way, you know, the corners are cooked when they're not perfect. It's kind of like an oblong, I guess, or
they're kind of tight corners.
They're weird.
Yeah.
Just look at an aerial, you know, picture of the track and it's an odd shape, but it's, you know, really unique and, you know, makes good racing with, you know, sprint cars, but it just made the cushion, and it wasn't kind of ledgy. It was just kind of soft, and it was a little mound. And like Davenport, you know,
it's
got
like
all
shake at the top of the corner, right?
Yeah. So Davenport got all the way up, you know, to the cushion. And it fell off, and he couldn't carry the momentum off of four. I think if they had something to lean on, you might have seen him, even though it was slick, you know, make momentum and make runs, and maybe equal McCready on the bottom.
Yeah, I thought there for a second that Ricky Thornton Jr. was going to get up there and make a run at him. He was ripping the top when McCready and Davenport were kind of running the bottom and in the middle. Jonathan said that he talked about trying to make the center work a little bit, but the shake was a little bit too much for him up there, and it wasn't good enough. But I thought Ricky Thornton Jr. was going to make a run at him right there at the end of the race because he was ripping the lip pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, but it just, you know, once Davenport and McCready got, you know, cleared of each other,
right?
That run ended. You know, that Ricky Thornton stuff just kind of, you know, stalled out and was you know, sitting, you know, second and third there at the end of the race. And you know, I think if we had maybe more traffic, you know, and guys got checked up on the bottom and in the middle, then yes, you know, Ricky Thornton, you know, might have a better shot. But you know, it's just. I mean, it wasn't an event that we would sit here and complain about, you know, a lot. I mean, I thought it was, you know, a decent race, but, you know, I don't know. I think I might have a little too high of expectations for, you know, the first two, you know, races there.
Do you think that some of the drivers, when Jonathan Davenport gets in the lead, they give up a little bit? Or do you think that they're still charging hard? Obviously, Tim McCready didn't give up last night. He kept working the bottom and made it work for him and got around him. But do you think that sometimes when Jonathan Davenport gets in the lead, that some drivers just say, it's over at this point?
If you're a race car driver and you tell me you give up, I hope you get fired. I hope you get fired.
Yeah, me too.
You know, now it might be, because it's a mental game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the biggest mental game you'll ever, you know, endure. You know, if you're going to go out there and you unload out of the trailer and you see the 49 car sitting next to you and you're like, well, I know I'm going to run second tonight. Go home. I mean, you're already beat. You're already beat. You've already
mentally
lost the battle.
You're already mentally.
So
beat.
You're not going to go out there and you go, yeah, you might say, yeah, I'm going to go out there and run as hard as I can. Yeah, you might, but you've already psyched yourself out of having a shot at winning. You never know what can happen to Davenport. Or, you know, look, I mean, this is two nights in a row that he started up on the front row or first couple rows and didn't win. So, yeah, some guys maybe are like that, but yeah, you just got to go out there and run as hard as you can and not give up because you never know what will happen.
You know, I'm pretty blown away. I think Brandon Overton, he started second last night, and he kind of he was running that car into the corner pretty hard. Do you think he abused his car a little bit too much trying to get into three over and over? He was just burying that car in there. Do you think he used up his tires a little bit? Because the night before, I think he started on the pole, and he ended up way back there in the field. Last night, he started on the front row outside, started second, and he ended up running 10th. He ran 10th last night. You think he was overdriving his car a little bit too early there?
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, what compound choice he went with.
Right.
Compared to, let's say, McCready or Davenport or Ricky Thornton. But, you know, I remember them saying in the broadcast that, you know, he might have, because he kind of fell back, and they mentioned the same thing about, you know, maybe he used his stuff up, or, you know, tire compound he chose was good for the first, it was a 60-lap race, so it was good for the first, 20, 30 laps, and then it falls off. So, I think, he was driving a pretty decent pace. At the beginning, I just, maybe his stuff or, his tire choice wasn't the best for, a 60-lap race. Because, you look at the night before, it was only 40 laps. So right. You have 20 more laps to deal with. And you got to, at the first part of the race, when you have Davenport in front of you, he's going to set a really good and consistent pace, but keep his stuff under him. So you just really want to stay, right there with him for the first, half the race or so. And don't fall back too far. And when you get, or you hopefully you catch a yellow later in the race and your stuff's still somewhat, decent, and that your tires are pretty close to maybe what Davenport is. And if you have that yellow, you can be there right with them and now have a shot at racing them with, a handful of laps to go.
At the start of the year, we saw the success that Devin Moran had down there in Florida, right? And I figured he was going to have a stellar year this year, but I really haven't seen enough out of Devin Moran this year. Have you?
Yeah, he was really good early on in the season during speed weeks. And you remember he won just a ton of races, and he just was really good. And that's just kind of how I feel Devin's years, past couple years have been. He'll get out on a hot streak and win a handful of races, and then he just kind of, falls back to maybe a mid-pack car. And, this is the first time he's... he's normally been committed to a schedule, so this is kind of the first time he's done an outlaw schedule, and maybe that's kind of played into it, where you're going to new places maybe you haven't really been to before,
right?
Like a Kokomo,
right?
And now you're just kind of trying to maybe, play catch up or different things like that. But yeah, I think that's just kind of, normal for him to kind of start off really good and knock off some wins and just kind of be, in the shadows the rest of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. I just figured he was going to be much more of a player this year, and we were going to see him in the middle of a lot of action this year. But I've been a little bit
also too.
Yeah,
I just remember this. His crew chief Wiley, which is his brother, he left after Speed Week. So remember they had all those wins.
Oh yeah,
and then that's Wiley true. Left, and he went off to do something else, and. So now I don't know what the crew chief situation is with Devin or who's in there, but they got a new crew chief, and now you're trying to start and create a relationship with him that you already had with Wiley, and trying to duplicate that again, and that takes some time to get used to it and get everybody working together. So
you would think you'd have a good book of notes, though, wouldn't you?
Well, you would have notes, and yeah. I think they do, but you get a new guy in there turning their inches, that's going to, that's going to change things. And your notebook can be really good, but it's about how you get along off the track and communicate on
the chemistry.
It's just pretty much chemistry and how you communicate on what you want to do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I don't know about that, but I know that his brother. Now, do we know why his brother left? Did they have a falling out?
No, it was, I don't think it was a falling out, because if you watch the Flood Racing Speed Week crew diaries, the relationship between the whole team was really good for the first part of the season. I think he just wanted maybe to do something different with his career.
Yeah.
Finally get off the road.
Tammy's got a good question here. She goes, how can XR continue to pay that kind of money with such small crowds? They must have somebody backing them, right?
I think...
Speedway Motors, you think? SMI, Bruton Smith. You think?
Well, not Bruton anymore. Marcus Smith.
Or Marcus Smith. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I think Marcus might have a hand in this. And remember too is, they have a relationship with Marcus, and then they did all that work at North Wilkesboro. So they're not riding on the Wilkesboro money right now.
Yeah.
They're on that. That all went back into the facility, but they've created a good relationship with Marcus, and they have plenty of money. And I think if Marcus believes in the XR team,
right?
It would be a smart investment to invest in their series to kind of turn that back into maybe getting fans to Wilkesboro and events kind of like that.
Yeah, I would say they're probably getting pretty good revenue off of their live stream though, because there's a lot of late model fans out there, and I know that there's a lot of people that would pay to watch those late model races, right? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah,
I'm not sure
like
it's enough to cover that purse, though.
No, I mean, 40,000 to win, 20,000 per second, that's 60,000. That's going to be about $100,000 or so dollar purse.
Right.
Just for, you know, Tuesday night.
Right. Alan Miller said, anytime someone beats Davenport, it's news. And that's the truth, Alan. No doubt about it. When you beat JD, that's something to be proud of. And Caleb says, I wonder what kind of money XR gets from their streams. We were just talking about that. I can't believe that they're even close on the stream money to pay for that kind of purse. We're talking about $100,000. Austin just estimated about $100,000. It's somewhere around there. And I just don't see them making that kind of money off of their stream. There's probably some corporate involvement behind the scenes, too, as well. You know, Barry Braun's pretty good at selling advertisement. And I would think that he's probably went out there and got some corporate American people involved in being a part of his broadcast as well. Wouldn't you think?
I mean,
a little
he would
corporate
have to.
Money in there?
I mean, you would have to. There's no way you can physically pay that. I mean, you know, he made the comment that, you know, when they ran Belleville this year,
yeah,
that was the most, besides Bristol, that was the most viewed streamed race that they had on their service. So, you know, I think I don't own an XR membership. I know you do. Is it a monthly membership or is it a yearly?
It's per event, I think.
So
it is.
It's per event. So yeah, I mean,
I bought the yearly. Because I've watched every race that I've turned on there, so I must have bought the year package.
Yeah, I mean,
so I don't know. Anyway, it was pretty good racing last night, though. Do you think that track is conducive to late model racing? Do you think it's too narrow?
I don't think it's narrow. I just don't think that it's. I mean, they go and race at Fairbury, and Fairbury's pretty narrow, I feel like, you know, and Macon. I mean, Macon's really narrow, and Macon puts on some good racing. So I think it just, you know, maybe comes down to track prep and the track shape and size.
Yeah.
You know, we see that is the slickest I think I've ever seen Kokomo. Because normally it's, you know, juiced up, curb,
right,
and really good for non-wing sprint cars. Even when the Outlaws and the All-Stars went there the past couple of years, it was like that. So, you know, I know the late model guys don't like to race on that. You know, they'll have a list of complaints on or reasons why, but you know they don't complain when they go to Fairbury and it has a almost a foot tall curb and it's juiced up across the racing or the groove.
Tammy says that Wiley wanted to start his own car detailing business. He got tired of traveling. Listen, traveling up and down the road like a gypsy is not easy, folks. I did it for 13 years, and I'm going to tell you, it's not for the weak of heart. If you think that it's a glamorous life living out on the road, traveling, running to all these races, it's not near as glamorous as you think it is because it's nothing but work. I mean, you get a few nights off here and there and you get to do a few special things and do some cool things when you're out on the road. But for the most part, it's a grind and it's not easy to do. So, all right, well, let's take a break. When we come back, Steve Post is going to join us here on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about dirt racing. We're going to talk a little bit about cup racing. That's all next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott hanging out in the house with us here at RBN, the Race Boys Broadcasting Network. Joining us now on the show is a great friend of the Racing Boys, Steve Post, the postman, joins us now. How you doing, Steve?
I am well, Scott. Hope all is well out there in the Kansas City area.
Oh, everything is well. You know, we're just ready for the heat to slow down. I don't know about you, but are you still getting hot weather down there in North Carolina?
Yeah, we had a little bit of a break from it, and it was nice. And I actually went to a couple short tracks this weekend, Friday and Saturday, here locally, and it was nice. And then it ramped back up yesterday. So what is today? Wednesday. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, But then Friday, it's supposed to, the bottom's supposed to fall out of it again, and we're supposed to have a spectacular weekend here. So fingers crossed, it'll be good.
Yeah. How worried do you guys get in North Carolina about these hurricanes that are happening down there in that area?
Yeah, it's interesting. North Carolina is a very wide state from the beach to the mountains. And right. So I think it's a 7-hour drive from one end to the other. So we certainly keep an eye on it. I'm in the middle part of the state. I'm in the Charlotte area. But I'm 3.5 hours or so from the beach, if you will, from the coast. So we keep an eye on it as far as that goes. And once in a while, one will roll through here. A lot of times it's some wind and thunderstorms by the time it gets to us. But out on the coast, it's a way of life. It's boarding up and being prepared to board up. And they spend hurricane season keeping an eye on the radar and the weather fronts, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a couple strong hurricanes going on right now as we speak, and hopefully everybody down in that area be safe. Steve, I want to talk to you a little bit about USAC. Did you hear today that they're going to switch the event from Terre Haute to Kokomo on September 30th with the USAC Amsoil Sprint Car National Championship Series? They're going to go over to Kokomo. Did you hear about that?
No, I hadn't heard about that. And you know, it's interesting. There's two very historic tracks there, and I know they've been making I know a lot's been happening out of Terre Haute, but I had not heard that actually. But I've been in studio most of the morning recording some various other shows. So what's the rationale? What's the reason? What's going on over there?
Well, originally they were talking about canceling the event at Terre Haute, but instead of doing that, they decided to move it over to Kokomo so they could have the event. They want to make sure this event happens. It's a little puzzling to me. I'm just not sure exactly why they were going to cancel it. There's no news in the press release that we're reading here that says why they were going to cancel it, but it sounds like they're going to move it over there to Kokomo. And I don't know, did you get a chance to watch that late model race last night over at Kokomo and XR?
Yeah, I saw the end of it. I didn't see all of it because I was out at Millbridge doing the kids racing out there. But I saw the end of it, and you know, it's fascinating. It was good. It was a fine race. And it's neat that XR is taking their series to places like Kokomo, to Belleville, and to places like that that are historically known for other forms of racing. The challenge with that is, though, you've got to have an awful good late model race to get the attention of the USAC Sprint Car fans that are used to the great racing at Kokomo. And so it was interesting to watch. I mean, you know, newsworthy in that Jonathan Davenport did not win.
Right.
Tim McCready scored the win. I mean, right. That's kind of breaking news when JD doesn't win one. But I saw the last few laps, and it just was weird the way it locked down around the bottom. Not necessarily what you look or what you expect when you think of Kokomo with our normal expectations up there.
Yeah, that track was pretty non-typical last night, wasn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it really was, and it was just weird. I just watched it, and you know, if you didn't see the building off from turn number 3 and know where they're racing, it didn't seem like Kokomo. That's for sure.
Yeah.
A good race, fine race. You know what Barry Braun and XR are doing? They're taking late models to places that haven't seen late models, and I love the concept of it. I love what they're doing with it. I worry when you get to a place like that, that your expectations are one thing and it's drastically different from what that is. And I think that might be what we saw there last night.
Yeah. It was good to see Tim McCready win that race last night. He earned it. He passed Jonathan Davenport with 13 laps to go in that race last night. And as you said, anytime anybody outruns Jonathan Davenport, because he is the man in late model racing right now, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. The way that he is rolling, and it doesn't matter. I mean, big tracks, little tracks, big races, $10,000 win races, which is interesting that they're little races now.
Right.
you know, it just doesn't seem to matter. Jonathan Davenport is in the picture, in the frame all the time when we're watching these pay-per-view races, and they're following the leaders. They're following the front racers. And the guy has found the combination that works everywhere, And the thing I respect so much about him, a lot of guys find that conversation or combination. He is aggressively taking it and winning races and cashing in while he can, because we know the nature of racing. You know, 2 years time down the road, it's going to be somebody else winning some of these races, or we'll be back to a lot of parity with it. So he's making hay while the sun is shining. That is for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's switch it up over to NASCAR, man. That was a, I felt really good for Chris Buescher to win that race the other day. How about you?
Yeah, you know, the whole Roush-Fenway-Keselowski merger or Brad buying into the thing has been fascinating. And I think what's come out of this, I think a lot has come out of it. I think the team that is maybe historically wasn't quite as forward-thinking is a very forward-thinking team right now. I think that's how Brad is.
Right.
I think that's big, you know, touchy-feely, important stuff as far as that goes. But I think I think a lot of us assumed that Chris Buescher was a really good racer. You know, we assumed he could get the job done. He had one win at Pocono. It was a rain-shortened race.
Right.
And, you know, those are always weird when you have those. Those are, you know, those are – I don't understand those not counting as much, because you put yourself in a spot and you won the race. And so Chris had that win. And sometimes that's almost like a negative thing that happens to a driver. But what we've seen this year, and it started at Daytona, Chris won one of the dual races along with his team owner Brad, and we've seen this team, you know, have moments of really, really good, and then other moments where they've struggled. I think while it's not a new team, it's the new team blues. I think Chris really has stepped up and shown himself to be a top flight, world class road racer. And darn near won the Sonoma race. And so I think it's validation. I think there's a lot of us that thought he was a good racer. I think a lot of us now that know he's a really, really good racer. And my feeling on it is it was great. You've got to get that first win with the team. You got to get that second career win.
Right.
My hunch on this one is that we're going to see Chris Buescher winning more races as we move forward. You know, maybe not this year. It's so tough. It's so topsy-turvy this year. But I think it was a big night for him to kind of step into his own. Brad Keselowski, you can't ask Brad about the team without him migrating to how good Chris Buescher is, how such a rock-solid teammate he is, how patient he is as they build the program. And he was rewarded on Saturday night
right.
with a win. In one of the, you know, it's not considered a crown jewel. It's not the Daytona 500, the World 600, or the Coca-Cola 600, or the Southern 500. But I'm telling you what, a trophy from the night race at Bristol is very coveted, and Chris Buescher's got himself one.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I thought Brad was going to get it right there in the mix of things there towards the end of that race, but I think he had a flat, didn't he?
Yeah, so did he. So did he. Brad had a tire go down, and he ended up going to Victory Lane as the team owner. But I thought the same thing too. Brad is such a talent. He's such a and when you put him in a spot where he's got the upper hand on people, he is not going to relinquish it. And they, you know, a tire goes down. There's nothing you can do at that point. You relinquish it. That's out of your control. He's good at doing everything in his control. That's the nice part about this win to me. You know, we went through this last year. Remember when Kyle Larson won all those races?
Yep.
And then he goes to Pocono and he cuts a tire down on the last lap, and Alex Bowman wins the race. And it's like, well, Hendrick Motorsports is still happy. That is a really good sign for Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing, in that when your first car has a problem on what looks like on the way to the win, your next car in line mans up and goes and wins the races. I think that's a huge statement for the team, and I'm with you. I thought the listening to that race on the radio, I was coming back from Lonesome Pine Raceway up in Virginia. I did a pay-per-view deal up there, and coming back from listening on the radio, I thought, boy, this is going to be cool to see Brad win the race. And you know, 45 minutes later, it was Brad in victory lane with Chris Buescher winning it.
Yeah. What about Kevin Harvick, man? What a disappointment for him this year, right?
Oh, my gosh. You know, they work so hard this season. They work their guts out, and then they get into August and they win two races back to back. And you're like, okay, here we go. This is kind of what we expected.
Right.
Complete honesty, Kevin Harvick was in my final four. But this is different. This season is different than anything else, and there's parts, and there's newness, and there's other teams that have stepped up, and there's parity, and it's just been difficult at times. And we've seen virtually every team during this year, from the top to the bottom, go through a three-race stretch of, wow, what in the world's going on? The wheels have fallen off this thing. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and win the next week. Kevin, unfortunately, had his three-race stretch the first round of the playoffs, the round of 16. And Kevin can come out and win this week or any of the upcoming races, too. But it just this year has been tough to get consistency. And it has been with some mechanical issues, with some pit road issues that everyone has had. There's just been a lot of challenges this year, and their three-race skid happened at the worst time for Kevin Harvick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Kyle Busch blows up two motors in 3 weeks. Does Toyota need to be concerned about their engine program right now?
I would think that it's got to get their attention.
Right.
I mean, I just because here's what also has happened. This is what I think of when you bring that up, and two engines in 3 weeks. That is amazing. That is mind-boggling how that happens.
Right.
Now, we don't know all the internal details. Did one get over revved? Was there some problem there that we're not aware of? But on the surface. And I think if I'm not mistaken, well, Christopher Bell blew one up at Darlington, but he over-revved that one. So, but on the surface, you've got to be a little concerned about it. And what makes it even more concerning is when we start to handicap the final 12, a Toyota may be right now the best performing team, and that is Chris Buescher. Christopher Bell. I'm sorry, Christopher Bell.
That is
Christopher Bell.
Yeah.
And so if you're Toyota, you better hope you don't have engine failures, because you drop one of those Kyle Busch specials, one of those ones that blows up into Christopher Bell's car, and he blows up this weekend. Then he's got to go to Talladega and the Roval after this, after Texas. I think there's got to be concern, unless there's just a unique situation that behind the scenes they know specifically what happened to those motors that Kyle blew up in the last 3 weeks.
Who would have thought that Tyler Reddick, Kyle Busch, now Austin Dillon, I think some people might have figured that, but to have Tyler Reddick, Kyle Busch, and Kevin Harvick all out of the playoffs at this early stage, that's mind-boggling almost, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, I had Harvick in my final four, Chase Elliott in my final four, Joey Logano in my final four, and I had left the other one open, but Tyler Reddick and Kyle Busch were both certainly in my thoughts for the final four.
Yep.
Because I thought both teams had shown speed, both teams have shown capability of doing it, and here we are with Reddick out, with Harvick, who was in my final four, and with Kyle Busch, who was, you know, maybe not in my final four, but I would say final six anyhow,
right.
You know, on the outside looking in. It's the nature of this year. This year, boy, if you think you figured out NASCAR this year, then you better tune in this coming weekend, because it's going to be totally different than what you think. It's just there just is so many variables this year, and the one variable is the depth of the field. We just recorded earlier today, one of the shows we did was Crew Call with Chad Knaus. He's the vice president of competition over at Hendrick Motorsports, and we were talking about, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and he said, if you would have told me that three drivers, non-playoff drivers, would have won the first round, I would have asked you, was there rain-shortened races? Was there strategy? Was there this? None of that. We have had Eric Jones at Darlington, Bubba Wallace at Kansas, and Chris Buescher at Bristol go and take wins. They've taken full-length race strategy, pit stops, execution, performance, wins. And I think that's what's made this thing so confounding for the cast of characters we're used to up at the front of this field with Harvick and with Busch and that sort of thing, is that you have the three drivers that have won the most three recent races, and nobody is shocked that they've won them based on performance, and there's been no hoodoo or no anything. And I just think, Scott, the depth of the field, the depth of the competition right now has flipped the equation on how to succeed and how to survive in NASCAR racing at this point.
You know, it's funny. Kevin Harvick keeps beating the drum about this car, and he said the cars were going too fast through the corners. Did you hear any other drivers saying that the cars were too fast in the corners? It was Kevin Harvick the only one that said that.
I think that Kevin, here's the problem we have with this. I think anytime you develop a new car, there's going to be bugaboos.
I agree.
You know,
yep.
I think that that is fair, and I think Bristol was the ultimate test of the load of the on the right side of this car. I think that was the ultimate test. So I think there's a little bit of credence in what Kevin says. I'm anxious. I kind of got in my mind that I'm gonna hit the garage at Talladega. I'm not going to Texas this week. I'm gonna hit the garage at Talladega, and try to find like maybe some competition directors when we're not in the heat of the moment. That's the challenge with this. You talk to Kevin Harvick after his car burns down, or you talk to Kevin Harvick after he gets in his messed up at Bristol, and you are in the middle of passion, you're in the middle of frustration, and I think that the degree of failure gets enhanced because of that. I'll be anxious to kind of dig in and talk to some more behind the scenes people on a Friday morning.
Right.
You know, not on a Saturday night standing at the care center.
Right.
That's a rough time to get an objective. I do think there's probably merit to what Kevin says. The degree to which, though, I think needs to be sorted out a little bit. But it's bit him at the worst time, that's for sure. And his frustration is merited. When you have parts and pieces failing, it's got to be frustrating as all get up.
Yeah, we're visiting with Steve Post, the Postman. His appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing Steve to come over here and be a part of Mostly Motorsports each and every Wednesday when he's not traveling. Steve, what do you got coming up on Wing Nation? Give us a little rundown what you got coming up.
Well, Wing Nation, we've been busy this week. Yesterday, we had our old buddy Wayne Johnson on. Of course, he won the... Yeah, I saw Wayne's picture with Jack Hockett. And
right.
So, you know, when Wayne and Jack Hockett are standing in victory lane together, Wayne won a big one. So we had Wayne on this week, and you can find that on all of our delivery methods, all of our channels. And we actually talked to Heath Moyle. Heath is the crew chief for Brent Marks.
Mm-hmm.
With our Wing Nation on Tuesday, we'll look at the weekend and who's the big winner, who's the big winner, who's the big winner. Scott, we've had Brent Marks on the show, it seems like every other week, and he's merited it.
Yeah.
Brent Marks is just having a spectacular season. So we decided to go with a different angle. So we had Heath on the show. And so that's our digital show that's out right now. When we look at what's coming up this weekend on MAV TV, we have the mayor of Port Royal, Pennsylvania. But it's race car driver Dylan Cisney. Dylan is a local guy in Port Royal, races there, has had success there over the years, has won a bunch of races there. And lives right there. You can throw a stone from the racetrack and hit his house. He actually, the community and the track were having some beefs. He got in the middle of it and now finds himself the mayor of Port Royal, Pennsylvania. And so he joins us this week on Wing Nation on our show on MAV TV Friday night and Saturday morning.
Man, that sounds like that's going to be good. So you can watch that each and every week. Tell them where they can watch it and the times that they could watch Wing Nation there, Steve.
That is a great question because it's MAV TV. It's Friday night and it's Saturday morning. And, Scott, I thought I knew the times, and then Craig and I were talking yesterday, and I have some doubts. So just go to your MAV TV listing.
Gotcha.
And you can find it on Friday night or Saturday morning. I thought I knew the answer to that, and I think I was wrong on it. So sometime on Friday evening we're on the air, and then Saturday morning as well.
All right, Steve. Well, we always appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Thank you for doing so each and every week. We always appreciate your time, and travel safe, my friend.
Looking forward to it, Scott. Big weekend. Late model stock racing. The Daytona 500 for late model stock racing is the Valley Star 300 at Martinsville on Saturday night. Motor Racing Network is going to be up there covering it. That's how big this late model stock race is. They've got MRN. We're going in to cover it. And I'm excited to be part of that broadcast crew. I love that race. Love that event. I think they've got 82 entries, so it's going to be a big one. So we'll have that this weekend, and looking forward to it. Can't go wrong going to Martinsville. And, Scott, always look forward to our visits here on Wednesday. Really enjoy it, that's for sure.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much, brother.
There we go, my man.
All right, there you have it. Steve Post, the postman, joining us here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bryce Hall is going to join us. We're going to talk about his new job down at Arrowhead Speedway in Oklahoma. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I want to remind everybody about what's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. Need to get up there and see the great track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. It was such a great racetrack. They've got all kinds of videos, memorabilia, just all kinds of things on display about Ascot Park up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's right there up on 14 Highway in Knoxville, Iowa, just off of Turn 2 at the Knoxville Raceway. You need to get up there and see it, folks. It's the best track tribute I've ever seen. They've got all kinds of cars, all kinds of memorabilia, all kinds of videos, T-shirts displayed. There are vintage T-shirts. There's a lot of great stuff going on up there. Right now at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, it's going to be going on through October 1st. And while you're up there, you might want to purchase you a Sprint Car raffle ticket as well. They'll be giving that car away on December 15th. And it's a complete race-ready 410 Sprint Car up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You can do it online if you need to. You can do it at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. And again, they're going to be giving that car away on December 15th, I think it is. So get up there, buy a raffle ticket, buy as many as you can. It all goes towards the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's a great, great place to go visit. Don't forget, they're open 7 days a week up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. So get up there and check them out, would you? Joining us now on the show is a guy that has been doing so much with USRA, I should say. I almost said USMTS, but you do some of that. Bryce Hall joins us now on the show. How you doing, Bryce?
Doing great, Scott. How have you been?
I've been doing okay. I think you caught everybody a little bit off guard by the announcement that you're going to be the new general manager at Arrowhead Speedway. Tell us about this racetrack that they're building.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to getting the facility built there in Colquitt, Oklahoma. Like you said, Arrowhead Speedway. We're about 5.5 miles west of the Oklahoma-Arkansas state line there on Highway 412 in northeast Oklahoma. Willie and Elizabeth Gamble purchased the facility at the time was Flint Creek Speedway there and formerly West Siloam Speedway, but it's really completely revamped it. There's nothing really original left. The track design's pretty similar to what it was, but even that's been changed a little bit. But we'll have a third mile racetrack with state of the art facilities. Been putting a lot of money, a lot of effort into having a showcase facility there.
Yeah, you're currently the director of operations for a USRA, and you're also the announcer over there. I'm pretty sure that Todd was a little disappointed that you were going to be leaving, right?
Yeah, he was. We talked about it. Actually, it's been in the works here for a few months. I talked to him back in June when Willie and I talked about going to work over there. He said I could, you know, start as soon as I wanted or fulfill any obligations I had. So I talked to Todd, and we both agreed that that it'd be suitable to finish out this season with all the roles and responsibilities I have. But I mean, yeah, he's certainly a little disappointed, but at the same time, I think happy for the opportunity that I have here, and we're looking forward to working together still yet going forward with, you know, USRA sanctioning on our weekly program and then having some USMTS events also.
You know, Bryce, I traveled up and down the road with the Lucas Oil ASES National Sprint Car Tour for 13 years, and we were talking a little bit about it earlier in the show that, listen, life on the road is really not that easy, is it?
No, it's not. It can become a grind. You know, it's fun to do, but at the same time, it's got its own set of challenges and wear and tear on the body for sure. So, this weekend actually up here at Deer Creek Speedway right now, and places that you come to like this certainly make the travel worth it. But at the same time, I'm going to be looking forward to having the opportunity to settle in and focus on one racetrack instead of 50.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be running there. How often are you going to run major events there. Are you going to have any touring series come in there and run at Arrowhead?
Yes, we are. We've actually been talking to a few series, looking at having a couple of regional late model events, some super late models. Really looking forward to that. That area has kind of been void the past couple of seasons of having super late model races. So we've worked with a series there to put on a couple of events, beginning to finalize that. A couple sprint car shows as well throughout the year, working with Terry Maddox with a few of his series. So looking forward to that. And then we'll have a 3-day USMTS event to finish off the year. That's the kind of the foundation of what we're looking to do. Certainly see how the late models do, how the sprint cars do, and see what events we think we can build on for some national events in the future.
Yeah, I know that you've got experience because over at Salina High Banks, you were working over there, and that's kind of where you cut your teeth in this business, wasn't it?
Yep, it was. I started as the announcer over there, and then before I went to work the first time for USMTS, before I actually ended up being the general manager promoter there, I was the track announcer there. Always really grew up there. You know, I was 5 miles or so from where I grew up, and then when that racetrack reopened after closing for a few years, the owners there built a prestigious facility there, so we got to see how things operated, and went on the road for a couple of years with Todd with USMTS before going back to Salina to be the general manager there. So yeah, I just kind of tried to pick up things along the way, and the experience at Salina is definitely going to help. If anything, I know a lot of things not to do and how not to approach things as much as how to do them. So that was valuable experience that hopefully will carry over into the new venture here at Arrowhead.
You mentioned the fall jamboree, the Featherlite Fall Jamboree that's going to be going on up there at Deer Creek. Let's talk about that a little bit this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I'm sitting here right now, and I'm always impressed by the amount of time and equipment that's on the racetrack up here. I mean, they've been on it ever since I've come up into the booth here to get a little bit of work done and talk to you guys. And beautiful facility here, you know, one of my favorite racetracks. But hadn't had a chance to really go through a lot of the pre-entries here, but I think we'll be 130 to 150 cars in two classes between the USRAB mods, the USRA mod, or the USMTS modifieds, excuse me. Always a great event, and it'll be interesting to see who comes out top. There's been just a ton of parity in this series this season, so looking forward to the race here this weekend.
Do you think Dustin Sorensen is the odds-on favorite, or do you think Tanner Mullins can run him down? What do you think about that?
In terms of points, just the way the points are structured, I do think it's going to be difficult for Tanner to really realistically make a run here. While it's still mathematically possible, that Sorensen's got plenty of provisionals, it would take a couple of catastrophic nights here with only six total nights of points racing left. The three nights here at Deer Creek and then three more nights at the end of October. And then you factor in just how good Sorensen runs here at Deer Creek Speedway as well. So I think it would be tough. I mean, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility, but just the way the point structure is set up, I think it'll be hard for Tanner to make a run here this late.
You've got a couple drivers that have won five races this year. Dustin Sorensen is one of them. Derek Ramirez is one of them as well. Both of them have five wins. Who do you think is the hottest driver right now in USMTS, in your eyes?
Boy, that's a tough call right there as well. When Jake actually kind of on the outside of that, he's deeper down in the points just because he had a later start in the season, was Jake O'Neill.
Eight wins this year. Yeah,
he seems to really be dangerous when he's on. You know, or if he had mechanical issues, are typically the only thing that defeats him, it seems like, on the racetrack. And he goes really good here at Deer Creek too. So I'd say he's hot. A regional racer that's not on the series that's really going to be dangerous this weekend, Jim Chisholm, first year in a modified, and he's already won two USMTS races. Again, not a series regular there, but somebody to watch this weekend. But again, the parity of the series is so high, it's hard at any one time to say who the hottest driver is. But O'Neill certainly tough when he can keep equipment together.
How about the Shane Schabowski? I probably butchered that last name, but he's doing pretty good as well this year, right?
Yeah. You know, he's a Shane Sebraski. He's a Wasota regular, and you know, when he pops in, he's always a competitor. He's had a couple standout runs this year as well. So I believe he's planning on rolling in here this weekend. So he'll be one to watch also.
Yeah. So this is going to be a great weekend, and everybody can watch that on Racing Dirt, right? Is that correct?
Yep. All three nights will be live on Racing Dirt.
Yeah. So are you excited about the future, being able to stay home and maybe sleep in your own bed a little bit more often?
I'm looking forward to it. You know, the owners and I, we really have the same vision for that racetrack, I think. You know, I'm excited and anxious at the same time. You know, it's kind of an odd transition phase here, trying to finish up what I've got going on, but at the same time, trying to get ahead of a few things that I know, you know, I don't want to the time the season starts. So I'm looking forward to it. He's, like I said, he's committed to building a very nice facility there, and really has seemed to pretty well put it in my hands in terms of the operations to let me do what I feel like will need to be done to run a successful weekly program, and then hopefully eventually get to having some marquee events to put that place on the stage nationally.
We're visiting with Bryce Hall. Let me ask you, Bryce, what do you think you bring to the table? What is your best asset that you're bringing to the table?
Oh, probably just
experience.
I'd say a vast range of experience. You know, with this USRA USMTF deal, I've pretty well been able to fulfill any spot that's needed to run a show on a race night or fulfill any role that I need to. You know, I don't know that I guess I haven't necessarily mastered one trade, but it seems like I've been able to jump into several different roles and be able to run with it. And I think that's something in that area that is needed. You know, the racing in northeastern Oklahoma sometimes is a little bit closed in on ways of thinking and ways of approaching things, and he wants that experience of somebody that's seen several racetracks. And I think just being able to bring that to the table, and whether I implement the ideas or at least present them to him, and then figuring out what's best going forward. I'd say that just kind of vast experience through various parts of the sport.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, listen, you're going to do a great job. I've known you for a long time, and I just believe in you. I think that you're going to do a fantastic job with those guys over at Arrowhead Speedway. We can't wait to see it. When we get close to opening day, we'll have you back on the show, and we'll talk about it, and we'll get some people, and hopefully we'll get some folks from around the Midwest to drive down there and check out Arrowhead Speedway. How about that?
I certainly hope so. I think we're going to have a great facility. Excited about the racetrack. You know, if we can get the racetrack to where it's good, I think it's an ideal size for weekly racing as well as special events. So we certainly plan to put a place together that people from the outside of the area want to come to. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on here and talk a little bit about the facility, and look forward to to talking to you again once the schedules come together and a few more things are ready to go for 2023.
All right, Bryce. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Mostly Motorsports. We appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you down the road when opening day gets close, okay?
All right. Thank you, Scott.
All right. There you have it. Bryce Hall joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. What'd you think about all of that, Austin?
Well, should be interesting to see what
Many people are wanting to open racetracks right now, right?
No, there isn't. And I think that area, I don't know what, from just kind of general knowledge, I mean, I don't think there's a ton of racetracks in that area. You know, I think Salina might be the only other one. So it's good that area is getting another track. And, you know, from what it sounds like, he's going to build it up to be something great. And hopefully it can live up to that and, you know, be a place we all want to race out.
I don't know if you know this, but that 412 runs all the way across the country. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. I see it everywhere. When I traveled up and down the road, I'd run across 412 no matter where I was at. So it's pretty good stuff. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning into the show today. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We can't thank Lucas Oil for being involved with our show enough. They've done a great job for us, and we hope that they continue to stay on with us in the future. We'd love to be able to continue doing the show. So We want to thank Brandon Bernstein for believing in the Racing Boys and doing what we're doing right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Kirk Elliott, for Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully, we can get Nina Jennington on tomorrow to talk about Gene Jennington going into the Midget Hall of Fame. That would be great if she would do that for us tomorrow. So hopefully that will happen. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.